Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, today it's Andy Kamenetsky in Ireland. Mason's out of here. We'll be back tomorrow. Pepe sitting in, Michael's sitting in. It's a game night. Lakers-Hawks at Crypto tonight at 7:30. Slee and Michael with the pregame starting at 6. Michael and I have the call at 7:30. And it's – you want to say something, Greg? Oh, I just heard something. Sorry.
No.
Okay.
All quiet in here.
All right. All NBA has never been more important because, and Michael, if I don't explain this right, jump in. Now your contract is tied to, if you make All NBA, you can make a lot more money,
super,
right?
A supermax, the difference between a max and a supermax. So basically about $20 million more a year.
The best example of this is Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's contract was up last year. He made All NBA, and in so doing, they were able to give him a supermax contract, and now Jaylen Brown's the highest paid player in the NBA.
For now.
Right, until somebody else comes along. So I asked Andy, Michael, and Pepe to come up with their all-NBA players. Keep in mind, if these guys make it, they're eligible for supermax, and they can make millions more. So to players, it's a really big deal. Now, for the first time ever this year, the rule is it's positionless. So if you want to, you don't call us or tweet us and say, wait a minute, Ireland, you don't have two guards, two forwards, and a center. You don't have to. You can put any – you want to, you can put five guards on your first team.
Centers.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. Had Joel Embiid stayed healthy, there would have been two centers on the first team,
right.
Jokic and Embiid.
I was going to say, along those lines, there's also the 65-game minimum. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there are certain guys like Donovan Mitchell, for example – will not be eligible this year. He hasn't played enough games.
Devin Booker is two games away from not being eligible, so he probably won't make it.
Embiid's definitely going to miss it.
Embiid's not eligible. Tyrese Halliburton's not eligible. There are a handful of people that aren't going to play 65 games at home. So you're going to have five spots on your first team. I'll just go first because I think these first teams are going to be very similar. My first pick is Nikola Jokic. Pepe, how about you?
Me too.
Okay, Andy?
I got Jokic.
Michael?
Yep.
Okay, so Jokic across the board. All right. My second pick is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Pepe.
Same.
Andy?
Yep.
Michael?
Yep.
Okay, so we're two for two on the same ones. This is where I think we're going to get some – well, maybe not in this one. My third pick's Giannis. Pepe?
No, I have Luka.
Okay. Pepe's got Luka. I have Giannis. Michael, who you got?
Giannis.
Andy?
I mean, mine aren't in any particular order, but Giannis is in my first five. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And then fourth pick, I have Luka.
I have Giannis.
Okay. So we've all got the same.
You still got the same team, Pepe. Well, that doesn't matter.
No, but the order will make a difference. So do you have
it's the same player?
Do you have Luka next?
Yes.
Okay. So our first four are all the same.
You said no. I thought you didn't have Giannis on your first team.
He said the next one.
Well, it doesn't matter.
All right, so
he didn't say that.
I just
Michael.
Wrote down five names. I didn't write down an order.
Okay.
Focus.
All right,
Pepe.
So
you're not focused.
So, Andy, those are the four locks, right? I think everybody's going to have those four.
I think those are the consensus top four.
This is where I think we're going to divert, okay? My fifth pick, and I'll be surprised if this is any of yours, is Jason Tatum. I think he's the best player on the best team. I'm going with Tatum. Andy, how about you?
I have Jason Tatum.
Pepe?
I have LeBron.
You have LeBron on your first team?
Yes.
Okay. Michael?
Homer. I got KD.
Kevin Durant. Okay.
That was a Homer
pick. You're calling me Homer?
That was a Homer pick, Pepe.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
Well, let's see. Let's see who else you pick.
It's a Homer.
I think you have him too high, but he's on my list. Pepe, he's on my 15.
He's on the 15.
Well,
yeah.
Let me tell you something. The guy's 39 years old. He scored 40 points, and we almost beat Golden State, okay? 39 years old.
But not first team.
Okay. Here we go. So there's everybody's first.
You think that you're perfect.
No, everybody. Michael does think his list is perfect. All right. So here goes my
first. He doesn't think it.
My first pick on my second team is Anthony Edwards.
Andy? I have Anthony Edwards on mine as well.
Okay.
I have Anthony Edwards in mine as well.
Michael, is he on your second team?
No.
You don't know nothing, Michael.
Who's your first pick on your second team?
Well, I mean, I just wrote five names.
Yeah,
I didn't
go ahead. Give me one.
Kawhi.
Okay. My next pick, I'm wondering if any of you will have on your second team, but I just love this guy. I have Steph on my second team.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, you guys, Andy, is Steph on your second team?
No.
Who do you have? Give me a name. That you have.
Kawhi.
Okay. So just out of curiosity, is Steph on your third team?
Nope.
Okay.
What?
So that's
what?
The first one where nobody.
Oh, yeah.
You're excused.
Okay.
Yeah, I get paid either way.
My next pick is Kawhi. Andy, who's yours?
KD.
Okay. Pepe?
I have Kawhi.
Michael?
LeBron.
Okay. So you put out LeBron on your second team. All right. My next pick, so there's only two left on my second team, Anthony Davis. Andy.
Anthony Davis.
Pepe.
I have Durant.
Kevin Durant. Okay. And Michael.
I got AD.
Okay. So three of us have AD there. And then last pick on the second team, this is going to be controversial, but I think he deserves it. I have Jalen Brunson. Does anybody else have Jalen Brunson?
I have Jalen Brunson.
Okay, so you and I had identical second teams.
Yeah.
Michael, who's the last pick on your second team?
Tatum.
Jason Tatum. Pepe, how about you?
Me too.
Tatum?
Tatum.
Okay.
Pepe.
You copy me.
No. All right. So now we only got five spots left, and there are going to be some great players who get screwed. There are going to be great players who get screwed. All right. My first pick on the third team. Andy, I'm curious if he's on your third team. I'll be surprised if he is. I have LeBron. Okay. Michael.
Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards is on your third team. Pepe.
And my third team, the first one that I have is Brunson.
Okay. So we're all kind of in the same neighborhood. All right. My second pick on my third team, De'Aaron Fox. Anybody else have De'Aaron Fox?
I do.
I went back and forth on him. I left him off, but I went back and forth.
Okay, who? Give me a name for one of your last third team picks.
His teammate, Domantas Sabonis.
Okay. All right. So we each only have three picks left.
I have Sabonis too.
Well, wait. Well, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Tranquilo. My 13th pick. You guys have all mentioned, or Andy, I don't know if you. Yeah, you did. I have Durant. Who's the third pick on your third team, Pepe?
Well, actually, I just mentioned one. That's why I said Sabonis.
Okay, you want to go Sabonis there? You
have three already.
Yeah, just now so do you. You have Jalen Brunson, De'Aaron Fox, and Sabonis, right?
Okay,
Michael, give me – or Andy, give me a third pick for your third team.
Jalen Brown.
Okay, he's coming up for me. And then Michael.
Brown.
Okay.
I also have Brown, but not
the third. So Jalen Brown is my 14th pick.
Mine too.
Okay, so Pepe and I put Jalen Brown on here. And then, Michael, give me your 14th.
Booker.
He may not make it. If he plays every game, he'll make it. He can only miss two more games.
Do you hear what they say in the
65? But he's still qualified. He's still eligible.
Yeah, he might.
Why I left him off is I don't think he's going to make it.
Give me your 14th pick. Same reason.
Zion.
Really?
He has been so good.
He's lost 20 pounds, I heard.
Yep, and 25.
25, I heard.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
He's been really, really good.
He didn't make
And the Pelicans have been very, very good over the last few months.
So, Michael, because he lost 25 pounds, you put him in the list?
No, I didn't put him on my team, but he definitely is the reason why he's playing better.
Yeah, Andy, I see it's such a bad start to the season, which is why I wouldn't put him on there. All right,
I went back and forth between him, De'Aaron, Steph. Like, he was one of the guys that I had a hard time deciding.
All right, my last pick is Domantas Sabonis. Andy, who's your last pick?
Victor Wembanyama.
You got him in there. I tried hard.
Yep.
Pepe, who's your last pick?
AD.
Okay, and Michael?
Sabonis.
Okay, so...
I like the Victor pick. I like the Vic pick.
He has been destroying worlds, man.
So, Andy, the guys you left off, you have no De'Aaron Fox... Do you have Jalen Brown?
Yeah, he's on my third team.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out how you got Zion and Wemby in there, and I didn't.
I essentially left out, I think as far as consensus guys, I left out Steph and De'Aaron Fox.
Okay, that's how you did it.
Yep.
Yeah. Michael, who's the toughest guy for you to leave out?
Yeah, some good players, but probably, I like Brunson. Obviously, he's played well. Lillard's still
tough. Did you have Brunson on one of your teams, Michael?
No. Probably the guy I wanted to put on one of these teams because I have so much respect for him. He's just a killer. Is Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
He won't play enough. That's the problem.
Really? Yeah, he's not going to make it.
Oh, he's not eligible?
Yeah, he's not going to make 65.
I thought he was going
to
make 65.
The guy I wanted to get in there, and I know this isn't a very in vogue pick around here, but the guy I wanted to get in there is Paul George.
I thought a little bit about Paul George, too.
I didn't have any room for him.
Who was your toughest omission, Pepe?
Donovan Mitchell.
Well, he may not make it.
He's not eligible.
He may not make the 65. But you're right. He's the best player.
Short. Yeah. I don't think he can.
He's the best player on, I think, a third place Cleveland.
You know what's
team.
Interesting? I looked it up. None of the Cavaliers, like as far as their biggest players, none of them are going to make the 65 limit.
Yeah, the three that I really wanted to put on that I couldn't find a spot for were Wemby, Devin Booker, and Paul George.
And the other one is Haliburton for me.
He won't make it either. He won't make 65.
Because of the number of games.
So, ooh. Michael, do you think...
My teams are better.
Well, do you... The players actually care about this.
Oh, heck yeah. A lot of times
they say, well, I don't care if I'm going to be all NBA. They care about this, right?
Yeah, when it comes to their money, they care. And this, plus this is prestigious, too, to be all NBA. Of course they care about that.
Greg, are we homers for putting two 10th-place Lakers on the all-NBA team?
No, they're still two of the best players in the game, but Pepe was absolutely a homer putting LeBron on the first team.
Of course.
He's not first-team all-NBA. Yeah. He's a good player still, and his age doesn't matter, Pepe. The fact that he's a good player. Yeah,
and Michael had him on the second team. Andy and I had him third team.
Third team makes sense.
He was third team last year.
Yeah.
I wouldn't kill you if he came up second team. I think he's put up incredible numbers, and he's played a ton of games, and he's been really good.
I think
and
that he
been
always phenomenal. Makes a difference when he's playing. Okay,
well, all of these guys do, Pepe.
Michael, is Leavin Towns – he may not make it either in terms of games.
He'll be ineligible.
Yeah, ineligible because of the lack of games played.
And then guys on really bad – like Andy got Wembanyama in there, and he's on a really bad – he's on like a 15-win team.
Yeah.
Do you figure record into your picks?
No, I just look at talent and skill.
Yeah, so you look at talent and skill, but you didn't have Wemby.
Yeah, because the other guys are all worthy of it, too. Sabonis, I'd rather have Wembanyama as a player over Sabonis, but Sabonis has had a great
year. I'd rather have Wembanyama than any of these guys.
When it comes down to talent and skill, you're going to see it all at the Pickleball Madness. It's our first signature event of the year.
Yeah!
Join us for 710's Pickleball Madness Tournament Saturday at the Agape Pickleball Center at Miles Square Park. In Fountain Valley, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., food, drinks, games, fun zone, and March Madness. Plus, sign the biggest birthday card in the world for Steve Mason and celebrate Mason and Ireland's 20th anniversary on ESPN LA. RSVP now for your seat. Go to ESPNLA.com and click on the Pickleball Madness logo. Special thanks to Subaru. Love. It's what makes a Subaru, and now the love is electric.
Very impressive. Mm-hmm. Coming up next... Would you pay a lot of money to get a front row seat to an eclipse? And once you retire, how much is your life going to change? We'll get into both those things next. Mason and Ireland, ESPN LA.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Bergman just walked in and he reminded me that, did you guys see the draw in the women's tournament? Boy, they didn't do UCLA any favors, or Iowa, or LSU. They put them all in the same region.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And so, Greg, if UCLA was going to make it to the Final Four, they would probably have to beat both of them, right? LSU and Iowa.
They'll have to.
And they're a two seed.
Yeah, UCLA's a two seed and had a chance at a one seed. LSU's a three seed, so you're going to have to face them in the Sweet 16. If you somehow get past that, you're going to have to face Iowa and the number one seed in Elite Eight just to make it to the Final Four. Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark into the Final Four, it's crazy.
Is there a chance the women's tournament is going to outrate the men?
Somebody said this may be the first year ever because most people, I would think including you, could name more women's players this year than men's.
Yeah.
Who's the best player in Duke, at Duke?
Is it that guy who got ran over in this course?
Kyle Filipowski.
But you don't really know those guys' names, and usually you know who the best player on Duke is every single year.
Right. And Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Juju Watkins, all, like, I would tune in to watch them individually.
Oh, yeah, Juju's.
So I think it might, to answer your question, there's a chance it could be higher rated this year than the men. And women's basketball has never been more popular than it is right now because of Caitlin Clark.
I think in general, women's sports over the last 4 or 5 years have had a real surge. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, women's tennis has been incredible. Yep. Women's basketball has been fantastic. I know because my daughter plays middle school volleyball. Women's volleyball has exploded.
The College Women World Series is fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, it's been an awesome time for women's sports.
Yeah, but it's at its apex, as they say.
And by the way, just one last thing. If UCLA somehow gets past all the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, and they make it to the Final Four, they could possibly see Juju Watkins in the Final Four.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That's another one.
That would be fun.
Just to make it to the finals.
You know that USC and UCLA sold out Pauley Pavilion this year for a women's game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last year for the women, they drew 5,000 people. This year, three times that.
Yeah, I took my daughter to a women's volleyball game, both at USC and UCLA. Both games had really big crowds for like a regular season Sunday afternoon game. A lot of people there.
Michael, could Caitlin Clark play 10, 15 minutes in an NBA game and hold her own?
Boy, that's a great question. She obviously could shoot with any NBA player. That's not a problem. I'm talking about the shooting.
But defense might be an issue.
No, she couldn't guard anybody. No, she wouldn't
have a chance. But half the league doesn't guard anybody now.
Well, that's true. But could she just run down the court, spot up in the corner, and have some guys?
Could she be Kyle Korver?
Yeah, I guess if you leave her open, but I don't know. I would like to see her try in the preseason just to see what it would look like.
Yeah.
She would get overwhelmed on the defensive end. But
in the box out, they're going to get it out of the way.
Yeah, she wouldn't go in there try to box out.
A lot of guys don't go in to rebound anyway. I know. Yeah. Including half the guys on our team.
She couldn't play in the league. She'd be just not fast or quick enough or strong enough.
All right, let me ask you guys this.
Probably like putting Kamenisky, tell him to go there and guard.
No, Caitlin Clark deserves better than that.
Because you play cornerback, right?
No.
Did you play cornerback?
I played a little bit of outside linebacker, but not
cornerback. I thought you played cornerback.
No.
I thought you were the last white cornerback.
No. That would be Jason Sehorn.
Okay. So that would be like putting on you on Antonio Gates.
Yeah, it's not going to work out.
Yeah. All right, so I saw this on April 8th, so in 3 weeks. The last eclipse for years will be going on.
Ooh, I love this stuff.
So Delta is offering flights that will give you a front row seat.
What do you mean a front row seat? Just look up.
Okay, that's what I think. But they are selling tickets that will basically fly you as close to the eclipse as you can get.
Huh? Listen, Mike.
And if you, I mean, basically you would get on this flight.
So you're up 30,000 feet closer.
Right.
How does that make you closer?
Right, because
the sun is still 93 million miles
away. Just let him finish.
No, because
this is my expertise here.
Oh, my God.
Michael, that's what I'm asking. I can't tell if this is worth the money. The eclipse is set to cross North America on April 8th as the moon passes between the sun and the earth, completely blocking the face of the sun and darkening the sky. For a unique experience, Delta will allow passengers to board their flight and watch this from 30,000 feet. The flight will take off from Austin at noon and land in Detroit at 4:20 to allow passengers to spend as much time as possible directly within the path of totality.
Okay, yeah.
And the best chance to safely view the eclipse at its peak. Mm-hmm. Flight 1218 will use an Airbus A220-300 plane, which has extra large windows to allow for premium viewing. Is this a stunt? Or is this something, Michael, you would want to do?
How much is that going to cost?
They haven't announced it yet, but let's say it costs $1,000. Would you do it?
Yeah, it'd be worth it because as we look up at a total eclipse through protective glasses, of course, it only lasts for a couple of seconds because the Earth is moving across the face of the moon. But this way, if you're following the path of it, you can look at the eclipse longer because you're staying with the Earth and the rotation and the orbit of everything moving together in synchronization. So instead of seeing the total eclipse for maybe a half a minute or a minute, you might be able to see it for 15, 20 minutes.
Thank you, Professor Michael.
I tell you, man, I know this stuff. Yeah. I am the black Carl Sagan.
Five additional Delta flights will be taking off from Detroit, Los Angeles, and Salt Lake City. Andy, in or out on the eclipse flight?
I'm out. Just I don't have that big of an interest in seeing an eclipse.
What? Like, oh, come on.
I don't.
You didn't. We had one here recently, a couple of years ago. You didn't look up to see it?
I looked up. I was like, eh.
You a Clark Griswold in the world?
Hey, look.
The Grand Canyon?
Do the shrug?
Yeah.
All right, time to go.
Let's go. Yeah.
Jeez.
Pepe, in or out on the eclipse flight?
Out. You're not fascinated by this?
I think I'm out too, Greg.
Really?
I'm not getting on a flight to see it. I will look at it. It's very fascinating.
Yeah, me too.
Make sure you put on your glasses so people don't.
With protective glasses.
Of course.
Of course.
What about you, Cohen?
I
wanna
go blind.
Want to see
an eclipse Brian,
like 15
in or out
minutes?
On the eclipse flight.
I'll look at it from the ground.
Yeah, I think I will too. Michael's the only one. Michael, you like to have lots of room on your plane.
Yeah,
it looks
right.
Like you might have the whole plane to yourself.
As long as nobody's sitting next to me, yeah.
Michael has that eclipse money.
All right.
Sometimes you
he will cover the window.
Yep. Yeah.
He will cover the
Michael
window.
Put the shades down. Then wonder what happened. Coming up next. What are you going to do after you retire? What's life going to be like? Aaron Donald's going to have to answer that question pretty soon. Jason Kelsey's going to have to answer that question. We'll get into it next. ESPN LA. All right, Mason in Ireland, Andy Kamenetsky in for Mace. Michael's here, Pepe's here. In about 10 minutes, Game of Games. It is Michael's game, and those games are always great. So stay tuned for that. A couple of things. Before I get to this retirement question here, did you guys hear what Charles Barkley said about the play-in tournament?
Mm-mm.
This was the other night on TNT. He was getting sick of the fact that people keep asking about the Lakers and the Warriors, and Chuck is not a fan of the play-in tournament.
What?
Here's what he said.
The West is going to go down to the wire. I mean, plain and simple. It's going to be fun to watch. You know, our sister network, on the idiots on the other network, keep talking about the Lakers and the Warriors like they got a chance. But listen,
have a chance to call the play-in.
The play-in is not a real thing, just for the record. That's just something we made up, Shaq. It's just like the CBI tournament. That's what the Lakers were.
Oh, my God, you're already in college basketball. Yeah. Man, it's CBI.
They should be making up stuff. They should thank Adam Silver for making up some stuff. Hey, let's just add a couple of teams to the playoffs so the Lakers and Warriors can get in.
All right, so did he forget that last year Miami was the 8 seed? They went all the way to the finals. They came out of the play-in tournament. The Lakers were the 7 seed. They came out of the play-in tournament and made it all the way to the conference finals. He's wrong, right?
That's what's so frustrating watching those, because I like them too, but why wouldn't Ernie, who's supposed to be the level-headed one, say, hey, Charles, you forgot who got to the finals last year, or at least to the final four? Two teams out of the play-in. What do you think about that, Charles?
That's right.
And Andy, I liked the play-in tournament. When they first came up with that, I thought, this is a money grab. It's stupid. Now I kind of like it.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it because it keeps the regular season more interesting. It gives teams more incentive to try to... If you got a 10% chance of trying to get yourself in the playoffs versus a 10% chance of trying to get a lottery pick or a 5%, I'd rather see teams go for the 10%, and there can be money in that 10% if you happen to make it because you get some playoff revenue. I love it. I think it's really exciting. I think it's fun.
And besides, when they do it, at the time that they do it, it gets really interesting.
I agree. See?
I think what Barkley...
Pepe, to that point, I even watched the other play-in games.
That
the Lakers aren't even involved in.
In fairness to Barkley, I think what he might be specifically talking about is I've seen some, like, Get Up or SportsCenter or whatever segments, First Take, like, which team has a better chance of winning a championship, Lakers or Warriors? And it's like, guys, you are debating the 9 versus the 10 seed.
Right.
Like, that's... I think he's correct. That is kind of a silly conversation. But the idea that the play-in itself is ridiculous or stupid, he's wrong about that.
Yeah, but we have to consider this too, okay? I agree with you, the 9 and the 10. But on Saturday, when we were doing the game, it was like a playoff. game.
Sure
the
was.
People were very, why? Because Curry is playing one team and LeBron is playing in the other team. And that counts.
Pepe, not only does that count, I think if that's the 9-10 game, I said this to Michael on our broadcast the other day, if that's the 9-10 game, Steph against LeBron, whether it's in L.A. or San Francisco, I think it'll be the highest-rated first-round playoff game of the whole thing.
Yeah, but the league would still want to try to find a way where both those teams could be in the playoffs. Yeah.
Right.
Like the loser is somehow going to be given
Dick Pivetta out of retirement.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They don't want one of those teams immediately eliminated.
That's right. That's
Speaking
absolutely right.
Of retirement. You know, Aaron Donald retired yesterday. Michael, do you remember the day after you retired? Did you work out?
Of course. I was really into working out back then.
Okay, so it sounds like, here's Jason Kelce. He was on his, he does that podcast with Travis. The Kelce brothers do that podcast. And he asked him, what's changed for you since you announced your retirement a couple weeks ago? Here's what Jason said.
Talking about his first week since you've made the announcement to be a retired NFL player. What does it feel one week in, brother?
Well, zero different. I've actually still gone down to the facility to get a couple weightlifting sessions in. So
you're hilarious. You're hilarious.
I'm a creature of habit. I don't know.
Until you get that barn up and going. That's
exactly.
Gonna
that's going to be a while. It's a 2-year project probably, but I feel no different.
All right, so what's Aaron Donald going to do, Michael, now that he's not playing football?
He'll still work out. I can't imagine he's going to sit around and not work out. He won't work out like he's getting ready for training camp, but I'm sure he's going to stay active physically doing that. He's a good-looking guy, well-spoken, very accomplished. He probably has some television opportunities if he wants to pursue that route. I'm sure he probably has some business opportunities out there, so it's all up to him, I guess. But he hasn't told us what he wants to do. But I've got to believe some TV networks or streaming networks are going to come after him.
What I find really fascinating about Donald in particular versus, like, say, Kelce, most, in specific, like, offensive, defensive linemen, when they retire, they start looking to shed that weight that they had on for football that is otherwise totally unhealthy. Aaron Donald's the exact opposite.
Yeah,
like
he's buffed.
He is granite.
Yeah.
And like what do you do with that body? Because you can only have it once.
Yeah.
You know, like look at a guy like Mark Wahlberg, who's like 52, 53, and he still works out every single day at like 4 a.m. because he knows once that body's gone, you cannot get it back. Yeah, so true. Like what does Donald do? Because he is shredded.
Yeah, he can stay that way. Obviously, he won't be playing football, but if he keeps his weight training serious, he'll look at The Rock. He'll look like The Rock forever.
But that takes a lot of dedication.
Oh yeah, you got to work at it.
All right, coming up next, Game of Games. It's Michael Thompson's game today.
Dedicated to Pepe's alter ego.
Okay. Oh, I sent a game about dictators. coming up next, Mason and Ireland, ESPN LA. All right, no base today. Andy Kamenetsky in for Mason. It's time for Game of Games. I have the lead for the month, but I'm probably not going to win because Michael and I are heading out on an East Coast road trip the last week of the month. But right now, Michael Thompson's game, we've got 5 players.
Nope, Laura's here too.
I won in.
Okay, right, we got 6 players.
All right, Laura.
So the 6 players are Brian, Greg, Andy, John, Michael, Laura. Oh, no, Michael, you're not playing, so we'll put Laura in there. And what do you got, Mike?
In honor of Presidente Pepe, today's game is about Pepe's idols, dictators.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Well, Laura, he acts like a dictator during his pregame introduction.
Aww.
So obviously he wishes he was one. So Pepe should win this game of dictators.
I'm taking him down. Let's go.
Whoopie-doo.
Multiple choice. This dictator is or was a vegetarian. Putin, Stalin, or Hitler?
Brian.
Putin.
Greg.
Stalin.
Andy.
Hitler.
I'm going to go Putin. Laura.
I'm going to go Putin as well.
Who is it, Mike?
Wait.
Pepe.
Putin. Oh, I'm sorry, Pepe.
Putin.
It is Hitler.
Whoa. Andy's the only one who got it.
Boy, I almost cheered for Hitler, and it became
Yeah.
Andy, don't do that.
He's cheering to the fact they got it right.
I'm just saying I caught myself.
Yeah, we got to. We all saw that.
All right, number 2.
Multiple choice. Idi Amin was dictator of which country? Kenya, Uganda, or Nigeria?
Greg.
Nigeria.
Andy.
Uganda.
I'll say Uganda. Laura.
Uganda.
Pepe.
I think it's Uganda.
Brian.
Let's go Uganda.
Michael.
It is Uganda.
Okay. Everybody's got one except for Greg, and Andy's got 2.
Multiple choice. This dictator made it a law in his country maybe he wasn't such a bad guy. Not to be cruel to animals, making his country the first to pass such a law. Which dictator was it? Hitler, Lenin, or Castro?
Andy.
Your classic dictator with a heart of gold.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Castro.
I'm also going to say Castro. Laura.
I'm also going Castro.
Pepe.
Lenin.
Brian.
Yeah, Lenin.
Greg.
Lenin.
Who is it, Michael?
Hitler.
We're all afraid to guess Hitler because we don't
want to
get
No, I already went. I went there once.
Right.
I mean, I sort of opened the floodgates for all of you if you really want to go. Yeah.
Multiple choice. This dictator in the Middle East wrote...
it's making Greg nervous.
Yeah. No, it's not nervous. I just feels like a curb your enthusiasm about Hitler in about general.
This dictator in the Middle East wrote romantic stories. Was it Gaddafi of Libya, Ayatollah Khomeini of Iran, or Saddam Hussein?
I'm going to go, this is me first, I'm going to go Gaddafi. Laura.
Oh, man. Saddam.
You're going Hussein. Pepe.
I'm going to go with the first one.
Who's that, Michael? First one.
Gaddafi.
Gaddafi. Okay. Brian.
B, Iran.
Ayatollah Khomeini.
Khomeini. Greg.
Khomeini.
Andy.
Gaddafi always struck me as a romantic. Gaddafi.
It was Hussein.
So. Oh.
All right, so who got that?
Me.
Laura got it. Okay, so Laura has two, Andy has two, John one, Pepe one, Brian one. Hey, Greg, you alive over there?
No, there's too much.
Go to the Romo.
Multiple choice. In military prison, while awaiting trial, according to soldiers that guarded him, which breakfast cereal did Saddam Hussein hate? Fruit Loops, Corn Flakes, or Rice Krispies?
Laura.
I think this is, I don't know. I'm going to go with Fruit Loops.
Pepe.
That's just so stupid.
Fruit Loops.
Okay. Brian.
Rice Krispies.
Greg.
Fruit Loops.
Andy.
I want to be on record. This is the greatest game we've ever played.
Thank you.
Fruit Loops.
I'm going Fruit Loops.
It is Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
All right, so I got it. Andy got it.
Everybody
Laura
but Greg.
Greg.
I didn't get it.
Pepe, you got it, right?
Greg got it, too.
Yeah, I said Fruit Loops.
You got it, right? Yeah, Greg's on the board now.
Okay. Oh, JK.
Score update. Laura 3, Andy 3, John 2, Pepe 2, Greg 1, Brian 1.
Multiple choice. This dictator was famous for his all-female bodyguards. Who was it? Kim Jong-il of North Korea, Gaddafi of Libya, or Pol Pot of Cambodia?
Greg.
The Cambodia one.
Andy.
Give me my choice again real quick.
Kim Jong-il of North Korea, Gaddafi, or Pol Pot?
I'll go Pol Pot as well.
I'll go Pol Pot also. Laura.
Cambodia.
You're going Pol Pot. Pepe.
Cambodia.
Pol Pot. Brian.
Team Ride. Pol Pot.
It is Muammar Gaddafi.
Oh, we all missed it.
Had a bunch of hot girls guarding him.
Yeah.
This Latin American dictator was known as Cara de Pina. Pepe, could you translate that for these gringos, please?
The face of pineapple.
All right. So which country was Cara de Pina dictator of? Nicaragua, Panama, or Honduras?
Brian.
Honduras.
Greg.
Panama.
Andy.
Panama.
I'm going Panama. Laura.
God, I probably should go Panama because you guys sound so good about that, but I'm going to go with Honduras.
Honduras. Pepe.
It is Panama.
It is Panama.
Oh, see, okay.
Noriega, correct?
That? That's right.
Who got Panama? Pepe got it. Yeah. I got it. Who else?
Greg.
Andy got it. Greg got it. Brian, did you get it?
I did not.
Okay. So Andy's got the lead with 4. John, Laura, and Pepe have 3. Greg has 2.
North Korea's, multiple choice, North Korea's dictator Kim Jong-il was known as what? Supreme leader, great leader, or dear leader?
Andy.
Dear leader.
What was the first one, Mike?
Supreme, great, or dear leader?
I'm going to go supreme. Laura?
I'm going to go with whatever wasn't chosen yet. The middle one.
Yeah, we need an answer. Michael, what's
she
the middle
said
one?
B.
Great leader.
Okay. Pepe?
Dear leader.
Dear leader. Brian?
Supreme leader.
Greg?
Supreme leader.
It is dear leader.
All right. Who got it? Andy got it and Pepe got it?
I should have won dear.
Yep.
Okay.
Love me some dictators.
True or false? Whoa. Everybody here's guess is here. True or false? Adolf Hitler was Time Magazine's Person of the Year in 1938.
Let's go Andy.
True.
Pepe.
True.
I'm also going to go true. Laura.
True.
Greg.
False.
Brian.
False.
Michael.
True.
Okay. So everybody but Greg and Brian. So let's do this. Let's do to give everybody a chance. Brian, you're out. You only have one. Greg, to give you a chance to hang around, we'll do four more. Here we go.
Oh, thanks. More Hitler.
Multiple choice. Which Middle East or Arab dictator received a key to Detroit in 1980 from making large donations to a Detroit church? The Shah of Iran, Gaddafi, or Saddam Hussein?
Andy.
Shah of Iran.
I also think it's the Shah of Iran. Laura.
I'm going with you boys.
Pepe.
Gaddafi.
Greg.
Gaddafi.
Who is it, Michael?
Saddam Hussein. Got the key to the city.
Anybody get that?
No.
Nobody.
Okay, three more. Greg, you're out.
Oh, darn.
Multiple choice. The African dictator, Mobutu, wanted the Ali Foreman fight to take place in his country. Which country did the Ali Foreman fight take place in? Zaire, Nigeria, or Cameroon?
I want to be last.
Okay. Andy.
Zaire.
I also think it's Zaire. Laura.
That's A, right?
Yeah.
Zaire. Yeah, that one.
Pepe.
It is Zaire.
Is it Michael?
It is Zaire.
Okay, so there's three left.
What country did he want it to be in?
Zaire.
Zaire.
No. What did he want? Not. It took place in Zaire.
Zaire. Right.
What country did he want it? Okay, I misunderstood the question.
Yeah, you're confused.
All right, here we go. There are
still got it, Andy.
Hey, listen, you guys. There are three left. Andy has 7. Pepe has 6. John and Laura have 5 each. So, Laura, you and I go last, but we got to go opposite of these guys.
Okay.
Here we go.
Multiple choice. Before becoming dictator of Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh worked in Boston and New York as what? Cab driver, pastry chef, or doorman?
Andy.
Wow. It's a genuine guess. Doorman.
Pepe.
Pastry.
Pastry chef. I'm going to go cab driver. Laura, you with me?
Sure.
All right, cab driver for me and Laura. Michael, what is
pastry
it?
Pastry chef.
All right. Oh. Pepe has tied it. Yes, Laura and I are out. There are two left, and it's Pepe against Andy mano a mano. Here we go.
Multiple choice. To Pepe's chagrin and disappointment, in what year did dictatorship rule end in Mexico? 1910, 11, or 12?
Andy.
11.
10.
What's the answer, Michael?
11.
Oh! Andy! All right, so Pepe, you're one down. You have to go opposite of what Andy goes on this question, or Andy wins it.
Okay.
I'm very impressed with your dictator knowledge, AK.
So am I.
You're a little too happy, though, too. Yeah. You know?
All right, Michael, give him a hard one.
Multiple choice. Pol Pot, the dictator of Cambodia, was known to be a fan of which Disney character? Donald Duck, Goofy, or Mickey?
AK.
Donald Duck.
Pepe, go with Goofy or Mickey?
It has to be Goofy.
It is Mickey.
Oh, yeah. And Andy wins it. Did you have a tiebreaker?
Yes.
All right, let's do a tiebreaker for fun.
China's Mao Zedong is known to have killed the most people in history under his rule. How many people was killed on Mao's watch?
All right. Everybody come up with a number. I'm going to say...
how many people die?
Well, this is history, boys.
All right. Brian, what do you think?
500,000.
Greg.
1,000,000.
Andy.
750,000.
I went low. I went 27,000.
Wow.
Laura.
I'm going to go 45.
And Pepe.
17 million.
Boy, you guys don't know your history, do you?
No.
No. What's the answer?
47 million people.
So no way.
I
really?
Was the closest
yes.
one.
Jeez.
Yeah, you were not close, and you were the closest one.
47 million?
That's the most people he
Michael,
killed.
Other than that was the darkest game we've ever had.
That's
it was
history.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Jeez, that was dark.
No, because you come out, I mean, it's not like dictators. Dictators, you come out with what was the food that so-and-so ate.
Yeah.
I love that one.
That one was funny.
You got it right.
All right. Brian, hit the super stager. Scott Kaplan joins the show. Hi, Cap. How was the weekend?
The weekend was great, but that was like the most morbid freaking game of games ever.
You don't like history?
It was.
It was the darkest game of games of all time, Cap.
Morbid is the right word.
What,
really?
You guys don't know about dictators in history, Pepe? You wave like you won every day.
That's in your imagination.
I mean, gosh, man. Like, Bergie even, like, got eliminated. He was like, oh, gee, sorry, I'm out.
Yeah. Oh, darn.
All right, let me see. Let me test you with one of them. This isn't really dark, but it's kind of interesting. This current dictator, think current, is rumored to not only be the richest leader of a country, but also the wealthiest person on the planet. Who is it, Cappy?
Is it Putin?
That's right.
Oh, worth, well, see, Cap, we should have invited Cap to play.
People think he's worth $300 billion.
Yes. Wow.
Well, he just got, and I'm doing this in air quotes, elected to another six-year
88%
term.
88% I saw.
Yeah, yeah. Right, that's right.
And so if popular. You're in the other 12%, good luck.
And he doesn't think that he's a dictator.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I mean, the 88% of the people support him. How could he be a dictator?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, they really support him, all right.
Yeah.
They support him. I've been watching a lot of those things over there. It's like, well, if you dare vote against him, you got some major trouble going, Jack. So
wait, don't go start your car up.
Right.
So, внимание.
Yeah. Now, Cap, I wanted to play something for you that we had on Friday that to get your opinion. Now, for people who don't know, Cappy was a kicker at Pittsburgh in college. Was your coach, Cap, a hard ass? Was he somebody that yelled and screamed, or was he more of a friendly guy?
Head coach?
Yeah. Who was it?
Well, my first head coach is a guy named Mike Godfrey, and we were so bad that we got him fired.
Okay.
And then our second head coach is a guy named Paul Hackett. USC fans will remember
him. I know
him.
Paul.
We were so bad we got him fired. So we were bad enough to get good coaches fired.
Okay, so Michael and I talk a lot about if you play for, like, a coach like Woody Hayes or Bobby Knight probably wouldn't work in 2024.
No.
But Carol Lawson, who's the women's coach at Duke, gave a speech last week, Cap, and it was kind of like a speech to explain why coaches are hard on players, why they yell at them and make things difficult. And I'm going to play it. I just want to have you react to it. Here she is.
Because if you go around waiting for stuff to get easier in life, it's never going to happen. And then what happens? Oh, it's so hard. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, this, I don't know, when is it gonna be easy for me? Oh, it's easy for other people. It's not, it's hard. And the second we see you handling stuff, handling hard better, what are we gonna do? We're gonna make it harder. We're gonna make it harder. Because we're preparing for you for when you leave here. Not just basketball and life. And if you think life, when you leave college, is gonna be all of a sudden get easy because you graduated and you got a Duke degree, it's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. So make yourself a person that handles hard well, not someone that's waiting for the easy. Because if you have a meaningful pursuit in life, it will never be easy.
Michael, is she right or is she a little full of it there?
Well, it all depends. Now, does she berate her players and embarrass them and call them names?
I think
and,
she's hard on them. I don't know. I don't know if she does. I don't know if she goes over that cliff.
I have no problems with coaches I played with, I played under, were very demanding, Cappy. Of course, you played at a high level, too. So my coaches in high school, college, and pros. You guys know two of them, Jack Ramsey and Pat Riley. Demanding as any coach ever coached the game. But they talked to us like young men. They treated us like adults. They didn't cuss us out. They didn't scream at us like we're drill sergeants in the military where you're preparing people for life and death. Yes, they were hard on us. They demanded stuff of us. They held us accountable, but they treat us respectfully. I don't respect no coach. I wouldn't want my son to play for no coach who's going to berate my son, scream at him, yell at him, just like you wouldn't want your son or daughter going to work for some company and the boss is screaming and yelling at him and berating him and denigrating him. So no, I don't agree with that message or that kind of coaching style. Even when I played back in the 70s, I didn't appreciate it, didn't respect it, didn't want it for me, and I wouldn't want it for any other kid. You can be demanding. My coaches were as demanding as any coaches ever coached this game, Pepe, but they talked to us like adults. How about that?
Cap, hold on. Cap, what do you think?
Well, Michael.
Cappy, are you okay with coaches yelling at you and getting in your face?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was always a saying that coaches had, which was, if we stop yelling, it means we stopped caring. You know? And I always subscribe to that. Like, uh-oh, he not yelling at me. He don't care anymore. But I'm with Michael. I mean, I hated being berated. I hated being yelled at and cursed at and having a coach try and humiliate you. I hated that. And I had it plenty. Believe me, there were too many times where coaches were just big bullies. And but Michael, I'm with you because you know, you don't want your kid to play for that kind of coach, just like you don't want your kid to work for that kind of a boss.
Right.
You know, I am with you 1,000%. But what the Duke coach said, I do agree with, because in Pat Riley's book, one of the things he starts with is, every day you wake up, life is going to be hard. And it is going to be hard. You know, my daughter just came home for spring break, and she had a bunch of her friends here that are all students at Boise State. And they're all having spring break. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm getting ready to go back on back-to-back-to-back calls. I go, that's what it is when you're an adult. You work all the time, for the most of us, you know?
Yeah.
And so you got to be prepared for things being hard, because it's, college is a joke. We all thought college was hard. Well, college wasn't hard. It was fun. It was easy.
Yeah, that's
it was,
true.
It was leisurely.
Pepe, what do you think? You okay, Michael, with a coach that gets in your face?
Michael, you spoke like a real dictator. But I agree with you. There is a fine line, and I agree altogether. A coach should be strong, should be demanding, but should never, ever treat you bad or being a bully, mm-hmm. like the two coaches that you mentioned.
Bobby Knight. Hayes, yeah. And Bobby Knight. Yeah. Andy, could you have played for Bobby Knight?
No. Nor would I have wanted to.
Or I mean, want your son or daughter to no, play for
Bobby
like that?
Bobby Knight got off on it. Yeah. Like, Bobby Knight made this about himself, and he got enabled to a point where this could be part of his image, where it, like, in a really perverse, dark way, became celebrated.
At the
like,
time that he was doing yeah. it, and now yeah, he I couldn't mean, do
like,
it.
Like, the idea, like, I think recently there was a, I think Indiana did some type of like bobblehead with him throwing a chair or something. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, this got celebrated. You know, my daughter, actually, at her middle school, her coach in volleyball, and she takes volleyball very seriously, he used to play professional basketball, like, overseas. He played all over the world. So, you know, he's a very good athlete, didn't reach the NBA, but a very good basketball player. She's told me all the time, he pushes them, and he can be, like, hard on them in the sense of he demands that they be at their best, but he never, ever berates them in a way that makes them feel bad about themselves. Coaches who do that just want to feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
All right, so we played this on Friday. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this, but the sad thing about this conversation we're having is that Bobby Knight was a basketball genius. I mean, he won three national championships for a reason. He was really smart. Here's Exhibit A. In 1984, if you've never heard this is absolutely amazing. 1984, Bobby Knight's coaching Team USA at the Olympics. The Olympics were in Los Angeles that year. And so Michael Jordan had never played an NBA game. All right. Now, keep in mind, he won a national championship at North Carolina when he was a freshman, but didn't win as a sophomore, didn't win as a junior. Everybody knew he was a good player. Somebody asked Bobby Knight while they were practicing for the Olympics, what do you think of Michael Jordan's game? And listen to how on the money, I mean, just brilliant Knight was. Again, this is before there was ever an NBA game played by Michael Jordan. Here it is.
The kid is just an absolutely great kid. If I were going to pick the three or four best athletes I've ever seen play basketball, he'd be one of them. I think he's the best athlete I've ever seen play basketball, bar none. If I were going to pick people with the best ability I'd ever seen play the game, he'd be one of them. If I were going to pick the best competitors that I'd ever seen play, he'd be one of them. So in the categories of competitiveness, ability, skill, and then athletic ability, he's the best athlete, he's one of the best competitors, he's one of the most skilled players. And that, to me, makes him the best basketball player that I've ever seen play.
Whoa. I mean, that he said that before Jordan ever played in NBA. I mean, he knew. And, you know, Michael, you know this story. The Blazers GM, the one who drafted you, was a guy named Stu Inman.
Yep.
And Stu was friends with my high school coach, a guy named Jack Arian. And so he came to our basketball banquet and talked to us. And, you know, back then, Stu was, you know, a basketball lifer. So Bobby Knight calls Inman because he knows him. And he calls him and says, Stu, he basically says everything he just said in that clip. He goes, you have to take Michael Jordan. He goes, Bobby, I don't need him. I got Clyde Drexler. I need a big guy. So I'm going to take Sam Bowie. He goes, Stu, you'll regret it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And he said, Stu Inman said to Knight, Bobby, I'm sorry, I need a center. And Bobby Knight said, then play Jordan at center. You don't know what you're doing if you pass this guy up. And sure enough, he's right. So, Michael, he ruined all of his genius by being a jerk.
Yeah, by being a bully.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no cause for that. And believe me, like I said, I played for the toughest and most demanding coaches you can play for without having to bully us and disrespect us.
The thing is, too, he didn't just bully his players. He bullied faculty at Indiana.
Media, everybody.
He bullied everybody because, A, he was enabled, and, B, this was a choice.
Didn't he bully his son?
I'm sure he bullied everybody.
Yeah.
I'm sure he bullied everybody because, again, he was allowed to.
He was allowed.
Yeah. And also, it was at a time where, just for whatever reason, this became like part of the legend and the genius of it all.
Cappy, have you watched any of the Dynasty on Apple about the Patriots?
I have not seen it yet. And it's like, some people tell me it's awesome and you got to watch it. And other people tell me it's terrible. It's just Kraft propaganda. And I've heard it's awesome. Have you watched it?
Yeah, I've seen all 9 episodes. The 10th one comes out next week. It's only 10 parts. Andy, have you seen any of them?
No.
You guys have to watch it.
It's so good.
You guys have to watch it. Laura, are you up to speed? Are you?
No, I missed this. The one that just came out, but I've pretty much caught up.
And it is not. History is not going to be kind to Bill Belichick if this is the last dance for the Patriots, and I think it will be.
What is it called?
It's called Dynasty.
And
it's on Apple. It's done by Ron Howard's Imagine, and everyone's in it. Bob Kraft, Jonathan Kraft, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Randy Moss, Bill Belichick. It's like Bob Kraft got on the phone and said, this is going to be the definitive project that tells the story of the Patriots. We want you to be a part of it, and I'm giving you full permission to tell the truth.
Wow.
And Belichick Cap comes off so bad in this.
Why?
He preached accountability but didn't hold it himself. He begged people, begged them, do not talk to the media. We don't want any outside distractions. And then he wrote a letter of support for Donald Trump when he ran. And all of the players said, wait, you told us we can't support anybody. You told us we can't do any of this stuff.
Wow.
So the rules that he made the players live by, he didn't live by himself. He said, the only thing that matters is that we win. Okay. All the other stuff is BS. So he benches Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl.
Right.
He's getting torched by Nick Foles. 3 of his defensive captains go to him and say, Coach, you got to put Malcolm in the game. He played every snap on our defense this year. Nick Foles is torching us. Put Malcolm in the game. You've always said all that matters. And he had a personal problem with Butler that he won't say what it was. And Butler's in this, and he doesn't know what it was. And it cost him
Super
Bowl.
You know what's interesting about this, too? I'm just reading a little bit about it, is – it's done with, like you said, Ron Howard and Brian Grazer, but it's also with NFL Films. So the NFL is, I imagine, not intentionally, but they're playing a part of, like, unmasking one of their own greatest legends of, like, the last several decades. Like, they're actually part of, like, putting a totally different image of Belichick out there.
And I can't wait for you to watch it because I think you're going to love it. And one thing you're going to say is, when it's over, is there is no doubt after watching this that Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever to play in the NFL.
Yeah, and Tom Brady, we now think, had more to do with them winning Super Bowls than Bill Belichick did.
Well, when you learn what Brady put himself through and how Danny Amendola has a great line in there somewhere where he said, Laura, what was the line about how
they played for Tom.
They were something like, we worked for Bill, but
played for Tom.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
And Brady, I mean, Belichick did not ignite. He tried to run Brady out of there with Jimmy Garoppolo. And Robert Kraft finally put his foot down and said, we are not trading Brady ever. So I don't know what you're up to with this.
Yeah.
But we are not, and he put his foot down.
I have
down.
To check it out because it he sounds said, very interesting.
But John, is it my understanding that this is not something that they like just whipped together in the last year?
No, they've been working on it for 3 years.
How long?
They've been working on it for 3 years.
Gotcha.
And Brady is super candid. He says the F word 100 times. Bob Kraft is super candid. The only thing they don't get into is they don't get into the personal life stuff. They don't get into Brady's divorce. They don't get into Kraft at the massage parlor. They don't get into Belichick breaking up with his girlfriend. It's all football. The only off-the-field stuff is they do a whole episode on Aaron Hernandez.
So Brady and Belichick have no relationship now?
No, and you'll understand why after you watch this.
So it's like
Belichick treated him like crap.
He won't
and
be
by the way,
Brady's
speaking of
he won't be
bullying.
There for Brady's indoctrination, induction into the Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
Indoctrination into the Hall of Fame.
I don't know. And I know, by the way, after watching this, I didn't think Belichick would be terrible on TV. You know, some people say, Belichick's a genius, put him on TV, he'd be terrible.
Yeah,
this whole thing
started with talking about bullying coaches who bully people. So now the word is that, you know, all these people who worked at the Patriots, who worked for Belichick, you know, they accepted the way he behaved for all these years because they were winning, right? I mean, they went to 9 Super Bowls in those 20 years, and they won 6 of them. And once they started losing, but he still had that same bully mentality, it just completely soured the entire work environment for everybody. And when he got fired, and make no mistake, that's what he was fired. The whole, like, office place and all the people who are support staff, it's like a whole new, fresh environment now there because he's no longer around beating people up, you know?
Yeah, it made a huge difference. All right, we got to get out of here. Beto's hanging
Where
around. Sedano's coming in. Caps, we got a game, Cap. Lakers-Hawks tonight. You going to be there?
No, not tonight. Not tonight.
Okay. Capi, you look really good with the white tuxedo, huh?
Oh, thank you, Pepe. I'm glad you saw those pictures.
There you go. Cap, styling and wilding. Sedano and Cap coming up next, ESPN LA.